Yo, this is Josh. I'm so excited that you found the Zion podcast today. I hope wherever you are that this message fills you with God's peace and power. And if you enjoy this message, consider sharing it with a friend. Let's get started.
Family, I'm so excited to see you guys this morning. How are you feeling today? Good. It's Mother's Day. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Allison. I'm on staff here at Zion. My brother is our senior pastor. Woo-hoo. So thank you, Brandon, for asking me to come and preach on Mother's Day. This is my first Mother's Day as a mom. You guys already know I have a 10-month-old son, and he's not just the joy of my life. He's the joy of everyone at Zion's life. So you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm so happy to be here on Mother's Day. Before I start, I'm gonna be like my dad. It's gonna be like an hour later. I'm like, to my text for the day. Because I wasn't planning the prophecy this morning because God surprised me. Don't you love it when God surprises you? That's good. I wanted to share a couple of words of wisdom with you that I learned from my mother. Is that all right? Some of you know my mother down here, Nancy Jo. I call her the mother of the house. And so here's a couple of things that she taught us growing up and is still teaching us because we're still growing up a little bit. Here's some things that maybe you want to take and apply to your own life. She says, everybody does it different. Now, there's some debate in the Block House on who said this first, but there is no debate. She says it the most, right? Everybody does it different. And it's usually because I'm the youngest child, and I'm usually complaining to my mom, like, why aren't my brothers doing things my way? And she's like, everybody does it different. So when you start feeling that spirit rise up inside of you, why aren't people doing things my way? Remember, everybody does it different, and that's okay, isn't it, Mom? My mom taught us a cold shower is best at the end of a long, hot day. That's good words of wisdom when you are on a missions trip in particular, because you're usually somewhere hot, doing lots of manual labor. You may or may not have running water, and if you do have running water, it's probably cold. So let Nancy Jo teach you this lesson. A cold shower is the best at the end of a long, hot day. My mom taught me this about my marriage. She said, there's absolutely nothing worth fighting about. Go ahead and take that, put it in your pocket, wake up. Every morning, there is nothing worth fighting about. My mom taught us that Sunday starts on Saturday. All of the mamas in the room know that, right? You got to get everybody's baths done. You got to lay out the clothes for the kiddos. If you don't start on Saturday, you're running late on Sunday. So Sunday starts on Saturday. My mom taught us that a dog that will bring a bone will take a bone. What that means is that your little friend who comes over and brings you gossip is going to take what you say, take it to somebody else. A dog that'll bring you a bone is going to take your bone to somebody else. So just remember that. And one of my favorite things she says is the Lord keeps the books. Aren't you so grateful for that? That you don't have to because the Lord keeps the books. My mom never said this out loud, but she lived her life in this way. And one of the greatest lessons my mother has ever taught us is that everything I have belongs to the Lord. And if you've hung out with Nancy Jo, you know that she lives her life that way. For those of you who have not spent time with Nancy Jo, I encourage you to do that. Number one, she's a widow. Number two, she's retired. Number three, she's the smartest woman in the room. Okay, so just take her to coffee, take her to dinner, not on Monday or Wednesday because she's spending time with Jackson, but Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, she is available for you. But spend some time with her. She will teach you things without even having to say them out loud. Things like everything I have belongs to the Lord. So thanks, Mom, for being the greatest teacher. So here at Zion, we preach through books of the Bible, and we are currently preaching through the book of Acts. However, we're going to take a pit stop today, and we are going to look at one of what I believe to be the greatest women of the Bible. Don't worry, guys. It's going to apply to you, too. Just like us ladies who come in and learn about our lives from the great men of God, I got something for you guys too. This is not just for mothers. This is not just for women, but we're going to look at the life of Hannah this morning. Some of you already know her story. For those of you who don't, I'm going to give you a little recap, and we're also going to read from the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles and you want to open them up and try to find 1 Samuel, I'm going to give you a little recap of what's happening in the life of Hannah, and then we're going to read some from the scripture. So Hannah was married to this man named Elkanah, and as was common practice during that time period, Elkanah had multiple wives. See, guys, I told you I'd keep your interest. Yeah, multiple wives. He had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. So some of you are like, my wife has enough personalities of five women. I don't need another one. You know what I'm saying? Elkanah had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah had a lot of children, and Hannah had none. She was barren. She was childless. But Elkanah still loved her dearly, loved her very, very much. And every year they would go to the temple in Shiloh to worship during this Feast of Tabernacles. And we're going to read a little bit while they're there. So they go every year to the Feast of Tabernacles in Shiloh. It's a multiple day festival where there's eating and drinking and partying, and they go to worship. Brandon tells us the Jews like to party. He's not kidding. Just read a little bit about the festivals. And so they come to this festival every year, and Elkanah brings his wife Peninnah and their kids, and he brings Hannah. And it's a festival with a lot of families, and so Hannah kind of feels a certain way about it, you know, because it's like, it's one thing to be sad at home. It's another thing to have it thrown in your face when you go to these festivals. And in fact, Peninnah, the other wife, would taunt Hannah for not having children. And if that wasn't bad enough, during this time period, it was very culturally shameful to not have children. So it was kind of a hard time for Hannah. She was like not eating. She was not drinking. She was crying. And her husband comes over and he's like, Hannah, what's wrong? Aren't I better than 10 sons? And I'm just like, maybe not that Elkanah, maybe it's something a little more comforting. But that's where we're going to pick up in the story. She's having a hard time here at the festival, and we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 28. Let's read it together. You guys got your swords? Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli, the priest, was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. Verse 12. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli heard her, seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound, he thought that she was drunk. Must you come here drunk? He demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger. But I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think that I'm a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. In that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant that request that you have asked of him. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. Verse 19. The entire family got up early in the morning, and they went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for the Lord said, I asked the Lord for him. The next year, Elkanah and his family went to their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and to keep his vow. But Hannah did not go. She told her husband, wait until the boy is weaned, then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently. Whatever you think is best. He's learned a little about how to speak to his wife, I see. Whatever you think is best, Elkanah agreed. Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promise. So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a three-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Sir, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. and they worshiped the Lord there. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that it is effective and powerful for our lives. And I pray today that as we look to your word for guidance in our lives, that you would pour out a fresh anointing, pour out fresh understanding on our minds. God, that we would draw closer to you. God, above all, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart this morning would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In your name we pray. Amen. I love this story of Hannah because Hannah's like Nancy Joe. She understood and lived her life like this. Everything that I've been given belongs to the Lord. I'm here today to tell you that everything that you have been given, it belongs to the Lord. I like the moment of prayer that we see with Hannah because she's pleading with God, right? She's bartering with him. Anybody like me bartered with God a time or two in prayer? Like, God, if you just do this, then I will do that. God, if you would just, then I will, right? I don't know about you, but I sometimes, when the Lord has answered my prayer, had a hard time upholding my end of the bargain. You ever felt that way? That's not what my sermon's about. I just can relate to Hannah here. But Hannah, she upholds her end of the bargain. She gets a son and she dedicates that son to the Lord. And theologians will tell you that he was only 3 years old when she took him to the tabernacle and gave him to Eli to raise in the house of the Lord. 3 years old. Isn't that crazy? 3 years old. Now, just a disclaimer. This sermon is not to tell you guys, drop your kids off tomorrow, okay? We have discipleship programs. We have mentorship programs. But me and Trey are going to be here on Monday, and we are not equipped to raise your three-year-old toddlers and keep them here until they are ready to go out into the world. That's the blessing that's on your life. But do bring them on Sunday mornings. Do bring them on Sunday nights. Do bring them on Wednesdays. Do teach them that Sunday starts on Saturday. Do train them up in the way that they should go. The Bible says, train your children up in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. It says that all of your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. But your children can't be taught by the Lord unless they're exposed to the Lord. Your children are going to be taught by a lot of things in their life. They're going to be taught by the school. They're going to be taught by their friends. They're going to be taught by TikTok. They're going to be taught by Instagram. They're going to be taught by YouTube because they're going to be exposed to all of those things. And that's wonderful. But just make sure that you're exposing them to the Lord, because when you train up your children in the way they should go, when they're old, they will not depart from it. And that's a word of encouragement for some people in here today, because you've heard that scripture and you're holding on to that promise and you're wondering, Lord, what about my kids? I trained them up in the house of the Lord, but they're far from you. Maybe your children are grown, but they're not yet old. Because here's what I know. The word of the Lord cannot return void. If he says it, he will do it. If he says that if you train up your children in the ways of the Lord, when they're old, they will not depart from it. Don't give up. They're still coming back. Don't give up. They're still coming back. Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord because she understood something very important. She understood what James tells us in 1:17. He says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. When you start viewing everything that you have as the Lord, it changes the way that you approach everything. I wonder who you would pick up in your car on Sunday mornings and bring to church with you if you started viewing your vehicle as the Lord's. I wonder what TV programs you would watch or what books you would read if you started dedicating your mind to the Lord and your knowledge to the Lord. I wonder what you would do with your time off if you said, my time is God's time. I wonder what words would come out of your mouth when you decided, my voice belongs to the Lord. My voice belongs to the Lord. Does your voice belong to the Lord? There's this guy that we've been studying in scripture. His name is Paul. And before he came to know the Lord, he was actually like number one persecutor of Christians. He was a very influential man. And he would go from town to town and have Christians beat, have them thrown in prison. People were so afraid of him, they wouldn't practice their faith in public because Paul was a great persecutor of Christians. He was using his voice against the people of God. And he has this encounter with God where he gets knocked off his donkey. He goes blind for 3 days. The Lord speaks directly to him. And when his eyes are open, he said, I have a gift. I have a voice, and I'm going to use it for the Lord. And he ends up being one of the most successful evangelists and missionaries, who once was the greatest persecutor of Christians, turns into the greatest converter into Christianity. The great thing about dedicating your voice to the Lord is that maybe you haven't been so great at it in the past. But when you have an encounter with God, when you dedicate it to the Lord, you can start tomorrow using your voice to speak life. I love what the Proverbs says about our words. It says, pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. James tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And when you understand that everything you have belongs to the Lord, and that includes your mouth, you may start choosing your words a little more wisely, because the people of Zion speak life. You are the people of Zion. You can choose today, I'm going to use my voice for the Lord, because your words are powerful. Life and death are in the power of what comes out of your mouth. Let your words be sweet as honeycomb. Let your words breathe life into people. Even when there's need for correction, even when you have to correct your children, even when you have to have a difficult conversation with your spouse, even when you have to maybe guide some people in the workplace that are kind of hard to guide, you can still choose to speak life. One thing I have learned and I have learned and I have seen and I have seen is that people don't want to hear what they're not. They want to hear what they could be. So when you begin to use your words, even in correction, let it be words of prophecy. When you speak to your husband's wives, pull out the gold in their life with your words. Husbands, when you speak to your wives, pull out the gold in them. Speak over them what God says about them, until what God says about them is evident in their lives. When you approach it that way, your marriage will begin to look like gold. Speak gold over the children that God has placed in your lives. The things you say about your kids, they stick with your kids. Speak life, speak life, speak life. In your workplace, that may not look like life. You have the power to change atmospheres through your words. Speak life. Let your words be honeycomb. Be different than the people around you. My voice belongs to the Lord. Everything I have belongs to the Lord. And that includes the words that come out of my mouth. The great thing about everything that we have belonging to the Lord is this, that because it belongs to the Lord, you can trust him with it. You can trust him with it. Samuel served the Lord with his whole life. If you read, he's got two books in the Bible named after him. Isn't that pretty cool? He must have been a great man of God. He served the Lord with his life even when his mama wasn't around. Aren't we hopeful for that when we train up our kids? Don't go out into the world and make me an embarrassment. You know what I'm saying? Samuel served the Lord with his whole life. He served the Israelite nation. He went on to accomplish many great things. He was a prophet for the people. They elected him as the judge over all of the tribes of Israel. He anointed the first two kings of the Israelite nation. He was a great man of God. He served his people until the day that he died. I wonder what Samuel's life would have been like had his mother not been faithful to dedicate him to the Lord. I just wonder. The good thing is that God has great plans for the gifts that he puts in your life, and he has great plans for you. God's plans are greater than yours, so you can trust him. He has greater plans for your children than you could ever dream up. He has greater plans for your career than you could ever map out on a chart. He has greater plans for your finances than you could ever budget for. And sometimes we think we know what's best for the thing that God puts in our lives, right? We're holding on to these things so tightly, our children, our time, our money, our spouse, our career. But I am here today to tell you that you can trust God, that you can loosen that grip, and you can begin saying, everything that I have belongs to the Lord. Think about it this way. Everything that Jackson has, my 10-month-old son, belongs to me and Ryan. Just does. He ain't got no money. You know what I'm saying? Everything that he has belongs to me and Ryan. We're his supply. And it's a good thing because he doesn't have to worry about where his next meal is going to come from. He doesn't have to worry about if he opens his toy drawer, are there going to be toys in there or not? He doesn't have to worry. The other day, he was a little bit worried. I heard him crying in the other room, and he was like kind of distraught. And I was like, ooh, shouldn't have left him alone. He's only 10 months old, you know? And so I go in, and he's sitting on the floor, and he's just bawling his eyes out, holding this whisk that he's been playing with for like 2 weeks straight. And I didn't even know you could break a whisk. But he had pulled all of like the little things off the top. And there's just like pieces of metal laying all around. And he's like, my whisk is broke. And I'm like, got a little nervous because like if you put one of those in your mouth and swallow it, we're going to have some problems. And so I scoop it up. And then now he's even more pissed that I'm taking away his broken whisk. And I'm like, hold on, son. I put it in the trash. Guess what I have? Another whisk. So I go over to a drawer that he can't even get into. It's too tall for him. He can't see in it. He doesn't know what's in it. I have three more whisks, all of them bigger, badder, and better than the one that he broke. They are. The one he broke is like one of these little like souvenir whisks. I think Jen got it for me for my wedding. It was like a topper on the present. So I'm going to need a new one of those. Jen whips up my Asian sauces, you know. He can't see what's in that drawer. He doesn't know what me and Ryan have for him. He doesn't know that our supply is greater than what he knows. All he can see is what's in front of him. And because we love him and because we want good things for him, guess what? We gave him another whisk. A bigger whisk, a better whisk. Our supply is bigger and greater than Jackson can even imagine. He can't even think about all the things in that drawer. He doesn't know. He's never seen them. That's how our God is. His supply for your life is bigger and greater than you know. He has things in store for you that you literally can't even dream up because you don't know they exist. And at the right time, he's going to open that supply drawer and he's going to reach into it and he's going to take something out and he's going to drop it in front of you. And you're going to be like, I didn't even know that was possible. His supply is greater than our supply. His ways are higher than our ways. And he loves you and he adores you. He loves you more than I love Jackson. He loves your kids more than you love your kids. His supply for you is never ending. And sometimes we're just sitting around crying over a $2 whisk when God has something greater in store for us. He says, just let go of that whisk. Let me take that. I have something greater in store for you. And the great thing is that when you give something over to God, he doesn't take it and run with it and leave you with nothing. I didn't just say, tough luck. Sorry about your whisk. And have a great cry, you know? No. And God's not that way either. He doesn't ask you to give him something, to give over control of something, just so he can take it and run away with it and leave you sitting crying on the floor. He is not like that. He's a good father. He doesn't ask you to tithe so you can live with less money. He asks you to tithe because he wants you to invite him into your financial situation because his supply drawer for your finances is so much bigger and greater than you could ever imagine. But he's saying, would you just trust me? Would you just give over control? He doesn't ask you to spend time in his presence because he wants you to have less time for all the great fun things in your life. He wants you to spend time in his presence because he knows that with one less hour of your week, because you've dedicated it to God, you are going to be overflowing with peace and patience and kindness and goodness because that comes from sitting in the presence of the Lord. You'll be fueled in new ways when you give your time to God because when you wait upon the Lord, he will renew your strength. He will cause you to rise up with wings like eagles. He will cause you to run and not grow weary. He will cause you to walk and not grow faint. He doesn't want to take from you and not supply you. He wants to partner with you. And when you live in this posture that everything I have belongs to the Lord, you're going to find out this. We serve a God of increase. When you give something to God, he's going to cause it to grow. He is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, just like Josh was talking about during his giving talk today. again, I just can't help but wonder what Samuel's life would have been like if Hannah had not been faithful to give him to the Lord. The great thing that we see in this story is that God didn't just honor the sacrifice. He didn't just honor Samuel's life, right? We saw he went on to accomplish a great many things for the Lord. But God also blessed Hannah's life. I need you to understand that God blesses the gift and God blesses the giver. God blesses the gift and he blesses the giver. Every year, as you read in Hannah's story, they would go back to the feast. They would go back to the tabernacle. And every year she made Samuel a coat and she would bring it to him. And before they would return home from the festival, Eli would pray a prayer of blessing over them. He would say this, "May the Lord give you other children to take the place of the one that you've given to the Lord." And the Lord was faithful to Hannah. He blessed her. He gave her 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. A barren woman. His hand of blessing was on Samuel's life. His hand of blessing was on Hannah's life. When you decide to submit your life to the Lord, when you say everything that I have belongs to the Lord, his hand of blessing will be on the things that you give to him, and his hand of blessing will be on your life. I remember back in 2016, I was trying to decide if I should go into full-time ministry or not. I was working in the corporate world, and I did a ton of ministry here my whole life. And it was a really hard decision for me because I loved my job. I had an awesome job. I had a great boss. I made good money. I was good at my job. I was blessed and highly favored in ways that was like the hand of God was clearly on my life in this career. I was very successful and I was only on the trajectory to be more successful, but I was feeling like it's time for me to give my career to God. And it was such a hard decision for me. I grappled with it for a long time. And I talked to my mom about it. We were on a plane coming home from Mexico that my job sent us on. And I was saying to my mom, man, you know, God's favor is clearly on this. I don't want to make the wrong decision. I don't want to go in a direction and miss God's voice for my life because it was evident that the favor of God was on this thing in my life. And I'll never forget what my mother said to me. She said, "Allison, the favor of God is not on your job, it is on your life. It will go with you wherever you go. I'm here to tell you today that the blessing of God is on your life." I think sometimes we imagine God like our fairy godmother, right? And we're like, okay, I've got 2 decisions here. I can go down path A or path B. I can go work for Ford or I can go work for Ram. And we think, I go, Ram, is that Dodge? Thank you. I really practiced that too because I was like, don't blow it. Should have used something else. Should I go work for Ford or should I go work for Dodge? And we're like, what will God's blessing be on? And then we go work for Dodge and it's not so great. And we're like, ah, oh, God didn't sprinkle his fairy dust of blessing on me. God doesn't work that way. His fairy dust of blessing, so to speak, goes with you wherever you go, into this workplace. Every decision that you make, when you submit your life to the Lord and you walk forward, his blessing doesn't come off of you. Like, he's not just standing in heaven waiting to flip a light switch on and off. You know, like, oh, you're blessed today, not tomorrow. Blessed today, not tomorrow. If you're a child of God, you are blessed. We worry too much. We put so much weight on our ability to make the right decision and not enough weight on the fact that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. If you haven't heard it yet, if you don't believe it yet, because you are a child of God, you are co-heirs with Christ. His blessing is on your life. You're set apart. You're chosen. You have an inheritance. of the blessing of all the covenants and promises that God gives to his people are yours. They are on your life, and he is not taking them back from you because you chose the right job or the wrong job or the right house or the right way to go today. He said, these blessings are yours. Submit your life to me, and they will follow you wherever you go. You have power and authority in this life, and it's the same power and authority that raised Christ from the dead. You are blessed. You don't get to choose whether you're blessed or not. You don't get to have a whisk pity party like Jackson. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're a child of God. You are blessed and highly favored. I can't imagine how difficult it must have been for Hannah to drop off her three-year-old son, her only son that she had prayed for and agonized over and asked God for and toiled for. I can't imagine how hard it must have been. We get a small glimpse of it when she's like, give me a few years until he's weaned. And her husband says to her, may the Lord help you keep your promise. Because when we look back at her story, we see the blessing, we see the fruit, we see the provision, we see the result of her decision. We see that she's blessed and highly favored, and so was her son. But what we don't see are the days that she wept, longing to be near her son. We don't see the regret that she may have had to sit with, thinking, maybe I should just go get him and bring him back home. God gave me this thing. Maybe I should take it back. We don't even see that maybe when she went to visit him every year at Ramah, I wonder if he once in a while said, Mom, could I just come home this year? Wouldn't that be hard? Because those kids, they get homesick. We still get homesick as full-grown adults. Mom, could you just take me back for a little while and make me some food and hang out with me? When you decide to give something to God completely, 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 it's not always going to be butterflies and rainbows and frolicking through the fields. It's going to look like sacrifice. It's going to take discipline. But when you do, the fruit is going to come. The blessing is going to come. When you say, everything I have belongs to the Lord. It won't be easy every time, but it'll be worth it every time. Hannah was a blessed and highly favored woman of God, just like Nancy Jo. We look at her life. Isn't she so blessed? I mean, it's so easy to see. She has 5 kids serving in ministry. She's got 18 grandkids and 6 great-grandkids, and I bet she'd put $100 on the fact that every single one of them is in church this morning. She's got a beautiful home. Those of you who know her well, she's debt-free. She's set up, as we would think in our regular human knowledge, right? She's set up. She's flowing, overflowing with wisdom and knowledge. She is oozing the fruits of the Spirit. She's a prayer warrior. She's a prophet. She has words of honeycomb every time you talk to her. She's a blessed and highly favored woman of God. But just like Hannah, you haven't seen the times where it may have been difficult, the friends that she lost along the way, the opportunities she had to turn down to say, I'm sorry, but everything I have belongs to the Lord. The times that she went without because she said, I will give to God first no matter what. But you can see the fruit of her life. It's so worth it. It's so worth it to live in this posture that everything I have belongs to the Lord. The blessing and favor of God rests on her life. The blessing and favor of God rested on Hannah's life. The blessing and favor of God rests on my life. The blessing and favor of God rests on your life. And I want to share with you today what some of those blessings are. Deuteronomy tells us this: you are blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Your children will be blessed. You'll be blessed in the basket and blessed in the storehouse. You'll be blessed in your coming in. You will be blessed in your going out. When your enemies come and they try to attack you, guess what? The Lord's going to conquer them. Your enemies will come at you one way, but they'll have to flee in 7 ways. The Lord your God will bless the land that he is giving to you. He is establishing you, 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 all of you as his holy people. The other nations of the world will look at your lives and they'll say, yeah, you're set apart. Those are the people of God right there, people of Zion. You are set apart. apart. The nations will stand in awe of you. Stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land that he swore to his ancestors, to your ancestors, that he would give to you. Will overflow with prosperity. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in heaven, and he will bless all of the work that you do. You will lend to many nations, and you will never have to borrow from them. The Lord is making you the head and not the tail. He is making you above and not beneath. And this is the blessing that you are obligated to receive as his child, as a child of God. Zion family, you can trust God. It's not just a story. It's not just a book of fables. It's a book of blessing and provision, and it's yours. Why don't you stand up with me this morning? I don't know what boat you're in this morning. Maybe you're just here because your mama made you. But you're not walking out the same. This morning I just want to stand in a posture of receiving with open hands, even if it's just at your side. Just open your hands this morning to receive the blessing of God. I want to say a prayer over you today. Father God, I thank you for the people of Zion. I thank you that these are your children, that they are chosen, that every good and perfect gift that is in their life has come from you. Today, I pray that we would take on a new posture, Father God, a posture with open hands. The only posture in which we can receive, Father God. Today we claim those blessings for our lives. We thank you that you're blessing the land that we live in. We thank you that you've set aside land for us at all. And today we relinquish control of those things that we thought we knew were how to run, how to operate, how to control. Father God, we relinquish control to you. We stand and say, everything I have belongs to you, Father God. And I pray as we take this message that you've brought forth this morning, that we would begin to see the evident blessings in our life that would be so full and overflowing, that your favor would go with us wherever we go. And today we believe you for it, Father God. We take you at your word. We thank you for the blessing that is on our children. We thank you for the blessing that is on our careers, on our finances, on our homes. We thank you for the blessing that you are pouring out over our marriages. God, I thank you that even today, in this moment, you are restoring marriages in your presence, that we are going to choose to speak life in new ways, speak life in new ways, that we are going to prophesy over our spouses, over our children, over our coworkers, and we're going to see things change. In the same way that Paul's life changed so drastically, God, change us in this moment today. Knock us off our donkeys, Father God, as we commit our lives to you. We say yours is the better way, and we stand in the provision and the blessing that you have for our lives. We're not going to cry over a $3 whisk anymore. We're not going to cry over the things that we feel are broken, Father God, because we know our supply comes from you. God, we receive the supply that you have for our lives today, that it is greater than we can imagine, that is greater than we could ever even think up, Father God. Open your supply and pour out your blessing so thick on your people that all of the nations of the world would turn and look and see the people of Zion and the blessing that is on their life in a new and fresh way, Father God, that people would stand in awe of your people. God, we claim those blessings in our life today, and we take a step forward in the way that you have called us to go. We commit our ways to you. We commit our hearts to you, our minds to you, our mouths to you, our steps to you, Father God, and we say, take us further than we ever dreamed possible in this life, Father God, that people around us would see your goodness, that people around us would be raised up like a mighty army for your name, Father God, as we walk forward in the blessing that you have for our lives today. Father God, I pray a supernatural blessing over the mothers in this place. God, that you would raise them up, that you would give them new strength, that you would give them new vision, that you would give them new promises for their lives, that you would bring their children back to them, Father God. Any strained relationship between mothers and children today, we ask that you mend it, by your power, Father God. We're not going to try to fix it anymore. We're going to give it over to you and say it's yours, because you have better plans for that relationship, Father God. I thank you that you're restoring relationships with mothers and children for your people of Zion. Oh, God, we thank you for the blessing and the provision that is on our lives. Even when we don't understand it, we believe it. Thank you for your word today. God, go with us. In your name we pray. Amen. Give him some praise in this place this morning.